It's a little bit after 1 o'clock, and you're in tune to KZSU Stanford. And the views or opinions expressed by the host DJ or their guests present on KZSU 90.1 FM Stanford do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the Leland Stanford Junior University or its associates. We thank you for tuning in to this KZSU 90.1 FM broadcast, and stand by for another edition, another exciting edition of Shedding Lights. Doing the Bobby Timmons classic, Moanin'. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very proud to introduce someone who's never been on these airwaves before, but I've heard him on some local media in the Bay Area. From Sonoma State University, director, the current director of the Project Censored, Professor Peter Phillips. Professor Phillips, are you there?
Yes, hi, Bird. I am the most recent director of Project Censored.
Is there a new
having turned that over to Dr. Ben Frymer here last summer, but I'm still happy to talk about it.
Yeah, I read on your website this morning. So there's another current director right now, but you are the most recent, like you said.
The Censored 2010 book I was the editor for, me and Mickey Huff from Diablo Valley.
Mm-hmm. And Project Censored is now 33 or 34 years old, started in 1970.
This was our 33rd year, putting out a list of the most important news stories the corporate media didn't cover.
Mm-hmm. Founded originally by Carl Jensen. Is Carl still with you guys?
Yeah, he's on our board of directors. He just had his 80th birthday, and he's very active and helps us out.
And it's all this is all centered at Sonoma State University, so I guess the university is kind of in on this too, huh? Well, they sanction
it.
Well,
to a point, they certainly give us space, but it's really a student-run project. And we this year had 9 other universities around the country involved, helping select the stories as well. So it's becoming national in its scope, and students will search independent media, look for important news stories, bring them to class, then check whether they're covered in corporate media or not. If they weren't, then we get them evaluated by a faculty member who says, yep, story looks valid, and that's the screening process, and then we'll post it on our websites, and those are the candidates for the book each year.
You have a nice rockin' website, too. It can be reached at www.projectcensored.org, and the phrase I loved on the top of the website was, the news that didn't make the news.
That's pretty much the theme, and corporate media is very consolidated in the country today. It's primarily in the entertainment business, and a whole lot of very important news stories just completely get left out.
And every year, you take your work and you create a yearbook. It's called Censored: Media Democracy in Action. You release it in September, and now it's in 3 different languages, Spanish, Italian, and Arabic, besides English. And you also do a quarterly newsletter, too. Why don't you speak about that a little bit?
Well, we have a mailing list of several thousand people that buy books from us. We send them updates on what's going on with important news stories, and that kind of helps us. That's kind of what keeps us going. It's all the royalties from the book come back to support the project. We don't get state funding. We get student teaching money, and we get free offices and computer use, things like that. But as far as raising the money to keep this research project going, we have to pretty much do it ourselves.
But it must be nice to have that. Is it part of the journalism department?
It's actually, well, now it is part of what's called liberal studies. It's the Hutchins School. It was in sociology, and before that it was in communication studies. So it's been moved around a bit, but it's all we're all within 100 yards of each other, and continue to support and be engaged.
And do you find that you get a pretty pretty good turnout from the students? Are they pretty?
Students are really engaged with this. I mean, this is something where you'll get a 19-year-old come into a class who's never seen anything except television news, perhaps, and all of a sudden they're reading these independent stories, and they're hearing from 25 or 30 other students about what they're doing, and there's a real quick, oh my God, I had no idea, kind of response, and they really get into it.
Mm-hmm. Former director of Project Censored is our guest for the half hour, Peter Phillips from Sonoma State University. And how are you staying in touch with the group now? Are you on the board?
Well, the Media Freedom Foundation is our nonprofit 501c3, raises money to support Project Censored Sonoma State and support our websites, which are quite extensive. We have 4 websites. Besides the archives of all the stories for 33 years, we have a daily blog. We have a daily news site, which is independent news feeds from all over the world. And now we're doing this validated news where students are validating stories and they're posting those after they've been reviewed by a faculty member.
And I was really happy to see that you accept stories from journalists, scholars, librarians, and what you called concerned citizens. So really what that said to me was, if somebody has a story that they think didn't get covered right in the regular news media, the mainstream news media, they can send it to you guys and it will get checked out, right?
Oh, definitely. That's where a lot of our sources come from. And, you know, there's 2 million websites out in the world, and there's a whole lot of independent news being written and produced from all over. The problem is people aren't sure what to trust. And so that's part of what we've been doing for 33 years is validating independent news sites. And now we've got Southwest Minnesota University, DePauw, Niagara, St. Cloud, Drexel, SUNY, and California State and Northridge involved in this kind of work as well with us. So we're hoping to expand that and get universities all over the country to be able to validate independent news so that people can learn what to trust and know what are good news stories.
So people could go on your website and actually find out what your guys' opinion is about a certain news organization, web-based or not?
Correct. Yeah, well, we've picked 19 independent news sources, Christian Science Monitor, BBC, Al Jazeera English, that we consider pretty strong and valid news sources. Mm-hmm. Now, nobody's perfect, but these are going to give you a whole different perspective on what's going on in the world than MSNBC, Fox, and CNN. So that we think, is vital. It's vital to democracy, and it's vital to having people and have an informed electorate in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So that part's really important. That's why we call it media democracy in action. And we basically, the corporate media is principally in the entertainment business. And as they've consolidated, the parameters of what's acceptable news stories has gotten very narrow. And most of what's coming is actually packaged news stories from public relations people who work for the Pentagon, the White House, or major corporations.
We also heard on Democracy Now, starting about 3, 4, 5 years ago, how these phony news stories were coming out that were almost like infomercials, but they were guised in the guise of a news story. Do you know about these? What were they called? There was an abbreviation for them. Something. Yeah,
I'm trying to remember. Right.
I know.
We had a whole chapter on it last year. And we do, the Center for Media Democracy out of Madison is the one that's really worked a lot on the spin propaganda and how that's happened. And they focus this year. We have a chapter about deliberate propaganda spin by the Pentagon. And that's the Center for Media Democracy out of Madison. They do a chapter for us every year. And so they were the ones that talking about the info commercials and how they'll be a corporation can package and prepare a news story that'll try to present it as like environmentally sound, when in fact they may be extremely destructive to the environment.
Yeah, some of the environmental
greenwashing and That's what that's called.
Right, there you go.
Yeah.
You guys really have got your finger on the pulse of what could be one of the major ills of our society today, just misinformation, right?
Misinformation, incomplete news stories, corporate media is really, it's top down. I mean, there's only 120 people on the board of directors of the 10 big media corporations. We started, there were 50, now there's 10. And most newspapers in the country are getting their feeds from, AP, Washington, Times, the Washington Post Wire and the New York Times. So there's not a lot of independent reporting. There's very little investigative reporting. Most of the papers are laying news people off. Some papers have actually closed. And the people under 30 don't read newspapers anymore. Less than 5% do.
So that's kind of like modern-day censorship, isn't it?
Well, our definition of censorship is any interference with the free flow of information. So, yeah, it's structural. It's how the media, the corporate media, is organized with a strict bottom line trying to maximize profits. They're selling advertisers to eyeballs, and they're trying to, really create an emotional content. So there's this sort of, in a way, it's kind of hyper-real. You'll have a lot of emotional kinds of content, but not a lot of information about why this is happening or what the powerful are doing. So you can be scared, titillated, excited in some way, but it's kind of like going to Disneyland. You know you're really there, but you also know it's not real.
And this sounds, what you're describing is very interesting, because I think we've all been witnessing this on the news media in the last 4 or 5 months with this debate over health care in America.
Well, we got very little coverage on single payer and the advantages of that, when in fact most of the people in the country really want to have a government-paid health care system. Instead, we're getting a private insurance system where you're going to be mandated to buy insurance, several thousand dollars a year for working people, that they're going to have to buy their own insurance, verify that on their income tax, and then they're still going to be faced with the insurance company making decisions about whether you qualify for this care or not. So, the insurance companies in 2006, the top 10, they made $30 billion in profits from our premiums. Now, that money, the amount of money that they made could pay for health care for the entire country, and we pay more per health care per capita than any other country in the world, and yet we don't get it for everybody. And now we're going to actually have to pay more. So it's not a good thing.
A lot of folks, even around the world, too, have been astonished at how America acted or didn't act or didn't react since 9/11, with the two stolen presidential elections and the media marching us into war. And a lot of folks, either in Europe and in America, were wondering, where's the American public? Where's that silent majority? And what you're describing could be the answer to what happened to him. Maybe they just got kind of waylaid and misinformed and kind of put on a sidetrack.
Well, if people, 70% of the people get almost all their news from television news. So it's kind of exciting. It's something to gossip about. It sort of creates this excited delirium of knowinglessness because you really don't know what's going on. You don't know that 1 million Iraqis have died in the war since we first invaded that country.
A million?
1 million Iraqi civilians. Instead, you get an AP report last month that said 87,000. Well, that's over 1 million off because 3 national surveys have been done, the most recent in 2007, that verify. If you go interview 2,400 families randomly selected in the country and you ask them if someone in their family died from war violence and they say yes, then you extrapolate that data to the entire country, you end up with 1 million people have been killed. And, you know, even MIT International Studies took a look at their methodology and said, yep, 1 million dead Iraqis.
Wow.
So that's huge, yet that's not covered. Most people think that the deaths in Iraq are caused, you know, by Iraqis killing each other, mm-hmm. when in fact exactly the opposite is true. The United States military has killed over half of those people by aerial bombing or firefights inside of cities.
And what's so funny, not funny at all, is none of that is funny, but what's so interesting about that is now we have an epidemic of suicides among American soldiers coming back from Iraq.
Suicides, violent behavior inside of families. This takes a toll on people. When they're going over and they're in a civilian population and they don't know who to trust and they're scared and people are shooting at them and people are dying, it's a traumatic toll. I mean, this post-traumatic, you know, traumatic stress syndrome, which has been around forever technically, but you know, you kind of just after, you know, earlier wars, you're supposed to suck it up. But that's why we've always had suicide rates higher rates from ex-military coming out,
mm-hmm.
Vietnam vets as well.
This is
a very troubling thing. We have this American empire with 1,000 military bases worldwide. We have $700 billion defense budget this year, higher than ever, and that's half of what the whole world spends. So we spend as much as the rest of the world combined on military. We're paying for that here in the U.S., and that's not to protect us. That's not to protect us from, you know, some invasion or something. That's protect American capital and private corporations to do business anywhere in the world and to control the international oil market.
And this is the kind of news media or news that if people heard and it was verified, I think they would feel different about their government, don't you?
Well, I think exactly. I mean, you know, if we're going to have a democratic process to select people that represent what our values are, we have to be clear on those values. We have to be able to know what the powerful are doing. And we have to know that our elections are safe. I mean, the corporate media will not touch the reports and the complete documented information that in the 2004 election there were 8 million votes on the exit polls different from what the voting machine said. Now, exit polls aren't that far off. It's impossible. And this was only in 13 states. So 2004 election was fraudulent. The 2000 election, Gore actually did win Florida and should have been president. By the time they figured that out, the 9/11 had happened. Everybody said, well, let's just move on. Those are the kinds of things that corporate media, from a structural perspective, won't cover. They don't want to cover the extent of war deaths. They don't want to cover the military empire in the world. They don't want to cover election fraud. And they don't want to expand and try to answer some of the major important questions about 9/11, what happened there. So these are taboo subjects.
You're listening to Professor Peter Phillips from Sonoma State University, the former director of Project Censored, still on the board, still working with them. And Project Censored is a project, student-run project up there at Sonoma State. You can get them on the web at www.projectcensored.org. And you have come out with your report. That's the latest one, the latest yearbook. That's the 2010 yearbook, the one you worked on?
Yeah. This is my last my last censored yearbook. Dr. Ben Frymer will be doing the 2011 book, which will come out in September of next year.
So are there 33 books in all? Was there a book every year?
No, we didn't start doing books until about the early 90s. So we've done, I think, 16 books. And so before that, there was press releases, and independent media across the country would run the stories We still break the news every year. The first big newspaper to come out with is San Francisco Bay Guardian, and they write a story, so the weeklies all over the country will publish oftentimes a story that the Bay Guardian writes or do their own.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where millions of people will see it for the first part. And then our website has just been getting massive coverage. I mean, we're getting 5,000 reads a day. I mean, people spending time there.
Hmm.
And, you know, and that's quite significant. There'll be a million hits when our first list first comes out. And then the stories get translated and published in newspapers all over the country. So it's all over South America. It's all over Europe. It just doesn't get covered here in the U.S. The New York Times has never mentioned Project Censored. You know, we had one book review in the L.A. Times once, and Molly Ivins wrote an article about us and published it 3 years ago, and that was the only time we were ever in the Chicago Tribune. So they simply ignore us. And in one way, I guess you can kind of understand that. But, you know, it gets out there in a very big way.
So, really, Project Censored is becoming a news source, or has become kind of a news source then.
Well, we clearly are. We've certainly moved in that direction. I think the biggest question that I was asked the last 13 years, well, who do you trust? And I would say, well, Christian Science Monitor is pretty good, and I watch BBC just because you get a different perspective on the world. But the Guardian newspaper, Consortium News, Democracy Now, Pacifica News Service, Interpress, and Al Jazeera in English, and you know, Electronic Infatata, you know, and Telesur from South America. I mean, there's a lot of really good independent news sources.
Mm-hmm.
So we've conjugated those into one page of daily news feeds from all those different sources. So if you go on Project Censored website and then you click on our PNN button, Personal News Network, you get more news on one page where you can scroll down and see the headlines than you would be in the New York Times.
Hmm. And speak about, Peter Phillips, speak about what is media accountability?
Well, media accountability goes back to the responsibilities under the First Amendment. And that was to keep, you know, that's what the founders, that's why we have a First Amendment. That's why it's number one, is to have a free press, is to have information available to people, to have transparency of government, transparency of what the powerful are doing. And this is, you know, this is a part of what the social sciences do, is sociology, is public sociology, is looking at, you know, who the powerful are, what decisions they're making, who wins and who loses in these processes, analyzing those kinds of the consequences and of decisions, and you know, really looking at this. So you can take a look at military spending in the country, and then realize that a quarter of the people in Congress are invested in defense contractors.
Hmm.
They make money off of passing these defense budgets.
Uh-oh. That's a conflict of interest.
And well, exactly. And then, you know, and last year in Congress, the lobbyists spent $3.2 billion lobbying Congress in 2008. That's $32,000 per Congress member of Congress per day. So, you know, how is any citizen group that's going to, you know, from a local base is going to have any way to compete with that kind of money, that kind of amounts of money that are being laid out by corporate America?
They're definitely not. And it sounds like Project Censored is doing a lot to try to keep the media on the straight and narrow, at least inform the people of
well,
what's
really
going on.
Well, we really think that we're beyond reforming corporate media. They are who they are. And our goal is to literally undermine them with independent media, validated and supported and done on a local basis, shows like yours right now, talking about what's important. And we need, you know, this kind of information out widely available to people all over the country from multiple sources, so they start to recognize that, wow, privatizing healthcare in this country, which is what the bill was passed yesterday, really does. You know, really making these insurance companies more powerful, richer than ever, is not a good way to provide health care. And that's, you know, recognizing that and moving forward with those things, and people can start to say, well, wait a minute. We want some people that are going to represent what our needs are and what our values are. And you know, it's like my father, who's a World War II vet, and he goes, it's not right to invade other countries. Those are core American values. We're not supposed to be out policing the world with a military global empire.
Peter Phillips, do we have a free press in America?
We have a free press. They get to do whatever they want. It's not even against the law for them to lie to us. And so we get fabricated stories packaged by the big PR firms. And these firms, particularly in the last decade, have become massive. So you got the WPP, Omnicom, and Interpublic Group, which is a consolidation of some of the biggest PR firms that were historically having, like Helen Nolan and the Rendon Group and some of those. They manage wars. I mean, it was Helen Nolan who presented Naira before Congress, who was supposedly the nurse from Kuwait during the first Gulf War, who watched the Iraqi soldiers throw the babies out of the incubator, you know, in Kuwait City. It wasn't true. She wasn't even there. She was a daughter of the ambassador. It's not against the law to lie to us.
Is that surprising to you?
It's surprising to a lot of people when they find it out. You know, this idea of fair and balanced and, you know, the best, you know, all the news fit to print is not true.
Now, let's speak a little bit about accountability on your end. Now, I'm sure that Project Censored goes out of its way to double and triple check stories to make sure they're true before you put them out. So we see on one hand that the corporate media can put out things that turn out to be not true, which can be called lies, and nobody's held accountable for that. Now, what happens to Project Censored if something did come out? If you guys were to make a mistake, you think they'd come after you?
Well, you know, people don't like the stories sometimes that we do, but we've never, in 33 years, we've never had a story challenged based upon its factual correctness, where we thought that, I mean, there's differences of opinion, always. But we're, you know, this is a process. It's not one person doing this. You know, the students will post a story on a website that's been reviewed by a faculty member. Then people can comment on it. But when we pick the 25, there's over 200 people and 9 universities this past year that are reviewing all those stories and picking the 25 we think are the most important. Then they go to national judges all over the country. So you got over 250 people, most of them PhDs and scholars in their field, reviewing these stories. We're not going to get stuff through that doesn't work right.
Do you get feedback from either the corporate media or the powerful in this country about what they think about your work?
Not too often. Actually, not. I mean, the feedback is they just ignore you. You know, corporate media just ignores us. And the occasionally we'll have, you know, someone call up and you know, from a big corporation that didn't like what we had done. But, you know, that doesn't happen very often. They just want it to go away. And so they're not going to make a big deal about it.
Now, you guys have another thing coming up, another celebration and awards party. It's a book release celebration and awards party.
Yeah, so this is the 2010 book release party. We've invited the authors to come. Some of our national judges will be there. We're giving some lifetime achievement awards to Flashpoints and the San Francisco Bay Guardian and Michael Parenti. And that's going to be December 5th in Santa Rosa.
It's at the Odd Fellows Hall.
At the Odd Fellows Hall on Pacific Avenue in Santa Rosa. It's starting at 6 o'clock on December 5th. People are welcome to come. It's, you know, lots of good food and beer and wine and some good speeches and a real celebration of what we've been doing. So that's the annual book release event, and it's kind of an anniversary. It's my last one, so we're introducing Ben Frymer officially and you know, really celebrating what we've done, our collective media democracy efforts as Project Censored for the past 33 years.
And this is going to be on December 5th, like you said, the celebration for your book and awards party too, your last book presenting. And the public's invited.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they can go on your...
$20 to get in or $10.
We can't mention prices here, but people can go on your website and find out all that information, right?
Oh, yeah.
They can go on projectcensored.org and find out all the information on that December 5th celebration and awards party. But also, it sounds like folks can go on your website and actually get their daily news if they want to.
They can get their daily news, and they can see additional news stories that have been researched from independent media. And they can see our archives, and there's investigative reports that we've done and others have done. It's a massive website. There's a daily blog with people writing commentary on what's going on. So there's a huge amount of flow there.
This is wonderful work you're doing, Peter, and I'm sure that everybody listening to this show is thankful for your work, whether they've been aware of you now or not, and they are now. And I just want to tell you, keep up the great work, and if you ever get a chance, if you're not that busy in the future, please come down and be a live guest on this show, and let's do a whole hour.
Well, that'd be fun. I'd love to do that, Bert, and thanks very much for having us on.
Thank you, and we'll definitely be looking at your website